Right. The service is asking me to get more storage. I will note that. All right, lovelies. So I just need to make a note there. Okay, good. Wonderful. Welcome, welcome to your Phone and Power Hot Seat and Mentoring call amidst our socially distanced time that we are at. And this is the support for, or say normal support for the Powerfully Feminine Intensive and Arise in Your Queen Attract Your King programs. And I'm just wanted to make this available at the moment with regard to having somewhere to connect during these times. And there may be unique things that are coming up for you in this time during the COVID-19 worldwide crisis. I want to get us started. We are being recorded, and I will get this up onto the membership site when we're finished here. So what I want to do just for a second, I'm just going to unmute just so you can say hello, just hear your voice. You're unmuted, everybody. Say hello to each other.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Beautiful. I will mute you again because awesome. All right. So the thing is, as many women in the program are not my private clients, this is your opportunity to get in-person live hot seat mentoring from me as you go through the programs. It's an essential part of your success in the program. It's a place to voice, to share, and to come out of hiding a little bit and to open a bit more, okay? So really get ready to share your burning questions. Be brave enough to share your experiences as we dive even deeper here together. So I want to acknowledge you for turning up on the call today, as these are an integral part of your feminine support and in the Powerfully Feminine Sisterhood. So just a few things to understand about the call and how it will be conducted and how you can get the most out of these calls. I'm here for you. This is your call. This is your time. This is a time to be seen and heard. And I just want you to note that there are women at different stages of the programs and as such at different stages in their own relationship to their own feminine emergence. And this is how I designed it, because this is what community is. It's where we have different levels of experience, and as we share our experience, as we grow, we get to actually give and share to each other. And that is a beautiful part of what sisterhood is. It's one of the reasons why I decided to never throw anybody out of the group. And so we have all these different levels of experience here. So what that means is, please ask questions whether you're brand new or if you're more experienced in this work. Everything is welcome. And even if it seems like a basic question, it's always, there's this principle in learning where we need repetition, something to really soak in, right? And if you're more advanced, then speak what your truth is and your experience, and some women might just be going, oh, great, I look forward to experiencing that when I get to there, okay? So everything is welcome. This is a really safe container for your expression, and nobody hears this information other than other women in this training, okay? So right now, turn off any other distractions, cell phones, tablets, shut down any other web pages. We want to make this a special time for you, part of your out-breath time, okay? So let's start with a very short tune-in and meditation. So let's close the eyes. And just do that long breath, full length of breath in and up to the top of the head and out and down to the base of the body. And that's in and up to the top of the head and out and down to the base of the body. And as you're doing that, I'm going to get you to place one hand over your heart, one hand over your belly or your pussy, whatever feels comfortable for you today. And let the very warmth and reflection of your own hands help you to feel into these parts of your presence, your energy. This is your time to really be with yourself and be reflecting into yourself about your feminine power, her energy, and how she is emerging through the trainings. First and foremost, a powerfully feminine intensive teaches you how to be with yourself. A return to you. A turning inwards toward yourself. Because it is from this very foundational experience that everything else can be applied, such as how to date or be in relationship or success, communication. It all starts here. How we are with ourselves. And let's just do that thing where we feel into ourselves and just get a sense of percentage of masculine and feminine. Right now, just what's there right now. And remember, this is an art, not a science. And it's a tool for you to be able to feel into yourself at any time. And once we know where we're at, then we apply the arts and skills of the powerfully feminine training to increase our feminine. So we say you can't change what you don't see. And keep doing the nice long breath. Or you feel yourself filling up all the way to the top and all the way down to the base. Life-giving breath. And we always do these self-assessments with gentleness and compassion, self-compassion. And if we're using the same thing as a lens through which to see other people, which is not a bad thing to do, we also do it with non-judgment and compassion, just so that we learn. And two more nice big long breaths. And you can feel how in the space of the call, something is settling down, like a bit like sort of silt gently falling to the bottom of a pond. As we can settle in here with each other, we feel safe and comfortable, lose any anxieties. you know, for some women here, when they ask a question that's very vulnerable, it's new for them to be voicing in a group. And so we always need to be holding that in the background, so we hold each other as we speak up and share. Creating this safe, supportive feminine environment in which anything goes. Oh, and one more big out breath. Beautiful. Okay, and we'll come back. But you can keep your hands there if you would like. Or just rest the hands in the crease between the legs and the torso. If you're sitting cross-legged, or just have the hands over the heart if that's what you feel like you need. So beautiful. So a few practical things before I unmute. It's *6 to raise your hand, or if you're on the computer interface, once I press the Q&A button, you'll see that you can raise your hand. And I will do that now. Let's get started. Beautiful. So Q&A session started. So *6, or click to put your hand up. And this is what I'm here for. I did actually get some email questions this week, so I would like to see if you have questions online first before I respond to that. Okay. So *6. And you can always... also be sending, there's a text box that you can be responding to each other also. Yes, there's a chat box at the bottom of the screen. If there's anything you want to ask by text, sometimes when women have been at work and they've wanted to call in, they text their questions because they can't speak out loud. But as everybody's at home anyway, for some reason you might want to text your question if you want privacy where you're at. Okay? So whilst you're thinking of your questions or shares, I am going to have a look at some questions that came in from Mew from Thailand, one of our sisters. She got a lot of questions. Okay, I'm going to actually answer Erica first. Oh, whoop, she's come and gone. Erica, let me answer this question first. I'll get back to you, okay? You need to put your hand up, though. Mew says that she's currently on Module 4, The Art of Receptivity. I want to ask you some questions. In Module 4, about opening and receiving, there are exercises about boundaries. I ask, where are your boundaries? Where do you hit up against your value in your life? Where is your current edge here? Could be around money, your body, your intelligence, your family, or your partner. She asks, is the value boundaries about what is my red flag or what triggers me or pushes me to the edge around my boundaries? So Mew, when I just say it's about understanding your own value, like you are valuable, okay? And when I say where is your edge here, you might notice that you hit boundaries around how you value your own body, or you have shyness around your own body, or your body image. Yeah? You might have experiences around your intelligence that you don't feel as smart as other people, or smarter than other people, for example. So value, a bit like desire, has an inside and outside, and boundaries in general have this sense of what's inside the boundary and what's outside the boundary. And and boundaries and desire are closely related, right? Because when we speak about negative desires, they're things you don't want, and positive desires are things you do want. So positive desires would be things that you want inside your circle, and negative desires outside. So just think of that question as, what I'm trying to help you to do is for you to start to think in to yourself about your boundaries. Yep. And the reason why I say value boundaries is, the thing is, a queen is very clear on her boundaries because she's very clear on how she's valuable. Okay? Her sense of worth or self-worth is very clear, and that's why her boundaries are clear. And so sometimes when we become clearer on where, you know, we don't value something in ourselves, and that can flip us into the false feminine, we know that that's an area that we're working on, or that we're presencing, or that we're getting to know better about ourselves or understand better about ourselves. Okay? Okay. Great. I will keep answering her questions if I'm not seeing anybody in the queue. Okay? Nguyen then asks, okay, almost every time after I finish doing the jade egg exercises, and she goes, and desire setting, I always feel the emptiness and void in my stomach, which I imagine you mean belly and pelvis. Again, that's an English thing, so you mean the lower part of the body. Almost like the feeling that happens when you're about to get hungry, but I'm not hungry or anything. It felt like some energy has left my body. I'm wondering if you or anyone has experienced like this. Should the experience be different for each of us to feel, or should there be something that we would commonly experience? Okay, so I'm going to answer this in the most broad way, that whatever experience you're having, Mew, is your experience. It's neither right or wrong, or good or bad. Okay? Nobody can ever tell you that you should have a certain type of experience with anything that you're doing. This is your body, this is your energy, this is your desire, this is your life. And so what I'm hoping to get through to you in the training is that you get to do things and have your own experience, and that you can start to validate your own experience. So from your question here, I understand that you're doing jade exercises. I don't know if you're saying you're doing them whilst doing desire setting, or you do desire setting after jade exercise, I don't know. But that you end up having this experience of an emptiness. And you're wondering if that's good or bad or right or wrong, and I'm telling you that it's fine. But it also might reveal to you that you desire to feel something else. Okay? So if you thought you were going to experience something else from those exercises, that may very well be doing two things. If you have an expectation of an experience happening, and it doesn't happen, that could feel like a bit of a letdown. Also, if you have an expectation of a type of experience happening, it can also be the thing getting in the way of you actually experiencing what is happening. Now, this is normal in the world because our mind dominates things. Everything from the neck up dominates. And if you have an expectation, then you're not letting yourself feel into your body and feel into the experience as to what's happening right now. What are you feeling right now? I mean, I could do the most boring training in the world, but probably the most profound training in the world on feminine power by just constantly repeating, what are you feeling right now? What are you feeling right now? What are you feeling right now? As a way to get you to feel your experience at a moment-by-moment, day-by-day basis. And the feminine in of itself is a bit like the weather. The weather changes all the time. And what we need to learn how to do is to be able to move and modulate with those changes and flow with them. And then, yes, address things at times, but we can only do that if we are actually feeling an embodied feeling experience of ourselves and our feminine at any moment. Okay? Good. So, star six for the people that are live. I'm not seeing any hands raised yet. I will continue answering the emailed in questions. She said she has some questions about the moon cycle ritual. As you said, the first 2 weeks of the new moon are about doing, creating, and the last 2 weeks is about letting go. Should I be doing the desire setting exercise only in the first 2 weeks and doing the letting go exercise, like writing out resentments, clearing out the boundaries, like in the Art of Receptivity module, in the last 2 weeks only? Or can I still do the desire setting exercise in the last 2 weeks too? Okay, so the thing about the moon and the moon cycle, and I'm talking about the physical moon, not your menstruation cycle, is it's the closest heavenly body, planet, that is to the Earth. It has a profound influence on our Earth. By the way, it pulls the tides and then influences behavior of sea animals and animals in general. It stimulates monthly cycles where people who are farmers know when to plant according to the moon cycle. It's been well known in emergency rooms and hospitals that the full moon is when things get really intense and crazy. People have more accidents. There's all sorts of things that happen around the full moon. Well-documented stuff. So we need to realize the moon, as one of the feminine planets, we need to particularly be paying attention to the moon and its influence on us. On us, on our energy and on our body. And so we have this about 30-day cycle that circulates from new moon, or this new fresh impulse. Okay? And when you feel that, you feel this sense of new things or re-emphasizing projects that you're doing. It's a way to move with the moon where the cycle helps you and supports you in that flow toward creating something new, initiating something, or reinitiating something in the upswing of the first 2 weeks of the cycle. Okay? And then we hit the full moon, which is the fullness of the water experience, that full experience of the moon expression. And then there's a slow falling off of that as the moonlight, sorry, the reflected moonlight, which is the reflecting the light of the sun, starts to fade away in the last part of the cycle. Now, if you try to initiate things in the last part of the cycle, especially the last few days of the cycle, okay, you don't want to be initiating things in the last 2, 3, 4 days of the moon cycle, because it's working against you. The cycle is working against you. Why would you do it when the cycle is about to close, is about to finish off? There's a lot of scope there, though, because there's still a lot of moon and there's things happening in the third quarter of the moon cycle and even the very first part of the last quarter. So rather than just taking what I teach you here per rote, like anything that I teach you here, I want you to start to experience these things for yourself. I want you to work with these things and see how these things support you, support your energy, support your life. So rather than asking me to give you a very didactic response to your question, I encourage you to try things and to see when things work best for you and when to really let go, which would be the last couple of days of the cycle, for example. Okay? And when we go very inward, okay? Very inward part of the cycle. Yep. And remember, the moon cycle is the closest monthly expression of cycles that we need to know as women. And we have annual cycles of the seasons and the equinoxes and solstices also to pay attention to in this broader strokes of paying attention to cycles. Okay? I hope that helps. Good. So I have all Muse questions answered. Is anybody having any trouble trying to put their hand up? What are you wanting to share or ask about Night at the moment? It should be star 6. And text me in the text box, the chat box, if you're having any trouble putting your hand up. Another thing, as you can hear me, because we're a smallish group today, you can also just unmute yourself and start asking me a question, if that's easier for you. If that's on the screen, you can just see to the right side, you can just click your little your microphone button, and then you can ask the question. I am actually trying to look at the moon cycle whilst I'm waiting for you. I'm here for you. I can talk about things, but I prefer to answer your questions. Ah, here we go. Great. Erica, great. Let me see if I can get that right. Erica, hello. How are you?
Hello, I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you.
So what I'm experiencing is while going through the desire setting, I've sort of hit a block, and I think I'm just having a hard time connecting with myself and really knowing what it is that I do want. And I've kind of been in this block since about January, so it's been preventing me from sort of moving forward with the program. So I'm just wondering if I can overcome that.
So you're following the exercise? Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just trying to understand where the block is. So you're following the exercise? Yep.
So I've been doing journaling and the journaling exercise and then the meditations daily. But I just can't seem to find what it is that I do truly desire. And I can't, I don't know, I've never had this problem before, but there have been a lot of changes in my life. And so I'm having to rebuild from anew. And I think that's probably scary. I don't know.
Yeah. So, a few things. I can feel that it's distressing you a little bit that you can't seem to find this, and there may be a bit of grief around this. And what I'd encourage you to allow yourself to do is to let that frustration and the grief come forward. And like everything that I was saying before, the thing about the work on the feminine is it's not an intellectual exercise. This is not a thinking exercise. Anything to do with desire has nothing to do with your head or thought. It has to do with the deep yearnings and wants and feelings that are buried inside you.
Mm-hmm.
And so two things could be happening. You could be trying to overthink it and it's not working because it's not going to work if you're thinking it. Or that as you feel into it, you're hitting something like a big emotional place that you're not willing to feel into or don't really know how to feel into.
I see.
Yeah?
I think that's what it is. I do have some repressed memories, and I do feel like that's probably what it is, just not wanting to feel into that. I think you're right about having to process through the feelings of grief and blockage so I can move forward with it.
So, yeah, so what I'd encourage you to do is do the practices a little bit more like, you know, create a little ritual around it. And I do suggest this, but just really just make sure you do it in a time of the day or evening when you can really not be disturbed. Put a sign on your door, turn the phone off, light some candles, or light a candle, create a special space that's going to allow you to just be with yourself. This is really about you, and the reason why I ended up seeing this and designing that exercise is because of the amount of conditioning we have around desire, right? So you might also be hitting a blank partly because you might have got to the stage of, okay, well, I don't want what they say I want, the world, family, whatever. But you've kind of hit that sort of limbo space in between, well, okay, well, if that's not what I want, if that's negative wantings, but you're kind of in no man's land a little bit as you have to go into a much deeper relationship to yourself to discover the real ones, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's scary. But it's helpful to know that other people are working through it too, and it can be done, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then partly why I'm suggesting to create a really sort of intimate space around it for you is you must give yourself permission to let emotions come up, to flow. Mm-hmm. And even if all you end up doing is creating a space and then sitting with it and feeling the no man's land and just be with that for 5, 10, 15 minutes, let the frustration and the grief come up. And if that's all you do in that session, that's time well spent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, because until that starts to move, you're not going to start to get to what's underneath it, yeah? And, you know, One thing, you know, we all have these different relationships to this, but our relationship to our emotions needs to become positive as a woman. As in, you know, I know I've had to struggle with this a lot because, you know, I'm extremely compassionate and emotional, like I can watch something and if I see animals being maltreated or something, I just feel this incredible ache. And if I were to keep suppressing that and not to let the tears roll and to feel the pain, then I would just becoming more and more blank with myself, you know. I feel things very strongly. And yet, you know, I can also kind of have this thing, geez, you know, when's the grief going to stop? Which is a negative response to emotions and feelings. And they have to go, it's okay, That's just who you are. You feel deeply, you have a very strong response to people's grief and hurt. And that's okay, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so part of it may be just you developing this positive relationship to your own emotionality and letting the tears flow. You know, the feminine is about this fluid, liquid, watery element. Is an aspect of the feminine, okay? Just like the moon we're just talking about is the fluid feminine element, yeah? And if we don't allow that and be that, then something's missing. It's like a missing piece in your experience of yourself, yeah? Yeah? So what I'd encourage you to do is to do that, Erica, and please feel free to share that back with the group. Like that's how we can then, and I can then support you more deeply. I can support most if people share and ask questions, yeah? So this is where I'm at, okay. I did what you said, this is what's happening. So you'd have to wait a whole month for another call. Please know that the support will come through the group, okay?
Okay.
Good. Thank you, dear. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Bye-bye. Beautiful. I have a chat box question here from Renee. I would like to understand embodying my voice in different areas of my body. Did the module, but need more information like speaking from the heart or the pussy. so interesting. I had another client say she wants more voice work the other day. I need to think through that because I get it a lot, and it's something I've actually worked on a lot. See, the thing is, what I'm trying to pass and wanting to pass, Renee, is the quality of your voice is not just like if you're being trained to be an actor. I'm not wanting you to act something different or just learn a different tone or something. I'm wanting you to understand that our voice is connected to something. It's connected to, just think about when you're really angry and then you're shouting at someone or screaming. Well, your voice is connected to the anger, and that's what is creating the flavor and the tone and the effect of your voice around you. Yeah. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you walk into the room and your friend's just had a new baby, and you ask to hold the baby, and you immediately modulate your voice in a way because you know that the tone of your voice is reaching the baby in a certain way, and you want that to be very fluid and smooth and loving, right? And so you already know how to do this, and I'm wanting you to make it more and more conscious. Okay, so our voice is connected to our emotions and our energy. Our state of being comes through our voice. I know this well for myself because I had to do a lot of work on my voice, because when I was corporate, I had a really intensely clipped, kind of directional, masculine, that ends up being quite a push in the voice. Yeah, I got myself heard, but, you know, at what expense? Yeah. And so this exercise where I get you to put your hand on your heart and just feel your heart and then speak, put your hand on your belly and feel and then speak, is using the energetic center method to affect the voice flow, what it's flowing from, where it's flowing from. But you could equally not use the centers to do that, per my example before. Yeah, talking to somebody you're angry at versus talking to a little baby in your arms. Yeah, and you can easily extend that metaphor there, or those experiences, by, okay, if you're in bed with your partner and you're speaking in a more flirty or seductive way, your voice is going to be different. Yeah. A mother, I just shared this with a client this morning, if a mother is walking by the street and her child starts to dart across the road in front of a car, she is going to strongly project her voice and loudly to wake the child up. Okay? So the voice is a very powerful thing. Think of Martin Luther King's speech. That was not just his words, which were very powerful words, but it was his way of saying those words that impacted us so much and across decades of time, by the way. So you can look at, you maybe can do some research on powerful speeches and actually listen to the speeches and realize, wow, voice is so powerful, isn't it? And we want to influence naturally. We want to influence from our center, from ourselves. We don't want to use voice to overbear somebody or manipulate them, which would be false feminine ways of doing it, or false ways of doing it. We want to come from an authentic expression of ourselves. And, you know, just to say, for another example, you're in a difficult conversation with a person or a partner where you're feeling really hurt and angry. Yeah, you can still talk through that, and you can be angry and you can be hurt, And you can let that be expressed through your voice without it having to be an attack. As I share in the Arising Your Queen work, right? You want to speak about you and not about them. I am hurt, not you hurt me. I am angry. I felt really angry when you did this thing, not you made me angry when you did this thing. Okay? So there's turns of phrase we can start to learn to use too. But the thing you want to do is be owning your emotions, back to what I was sharing with Erica before. We need to own our emotionality and the broadness of its spectrum as a woman. We need to feel comfortable to express strong emotions to people that we feel safe to be able to do that with, and share difficult things with people that have earned the right to hear our story, as Brené Brown says. Okay? And so perhaps, Brené, don't worry so much about the speaking from your heart and your pussy piece, but just realize this spectrum that you have. Do a bit of research on voice and great speeches, that kind of thing might help you. And I know that I think you have asked me before about, you know, you're really wanting to learn how to soften your voice more and smooth it. I would say flow it. And so when you think about the feminine voice, it's often, like when it's at this sort of really fluid feminine expression of itself, it's more like how when you speak to the baby or a lover, where the voice soothes and the voice flows and the voice is like the water or the curves. Yeah? And we've all taught to bring this more brash, harsh, direct. I'm just sort of doing it a bit with my voice now, where you like cannon fodder. Da, 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 like a Gatling gun when we speak. There's only so much of that we can take, right? I was also sharing with a client this morning how you've ever been to a yoga class or a dance class with someone who's leading that and their voice doesn't feel that good. Anyone relate to that in the chat? I don't want to be in classes with people who don't have a good voice. Like they can't bring a space with their voice. Now that's a whole other spectrum of training, more on the priestess level. But when you know how to use the voice, you can really bring a space. Yeah? And, you know, when you don't know how to use the voice, you can also crash a space. Just again, just giving you this sense of this spectrum, Renee, and I hope this has been helpful. And she says, awesome, thank you. Hope that helps a lot. The feelings, not the body. Yeah. The reason why I say that, it's like the feelings are felt in the body, but don't get so focused on the body part or anything. It's more that I get you to put your hand on your heart or on your pussy or on your belly, because for some women, that's the first time they actually get to really feel any feelings. Okay. So remember, when I'm answering these questions, sometimes I'm answering it for different levels of experience. Okay, good, nothing. Okay, any more questions, loves? Quiet today. It's fine, I totally get some women want to be here because they just want to be able to be in community and to listen. It's totally always, you're always welcome to do that. But we're also in this interesting time where we've been enforced distance from each other. So this may be your opportunity to ask questions. If you have questions. Is that Kai?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can, hello.
Oh, welcome. Hi everybody. My question is, and I am doing like some work on this, but like if you have shame blockers, how do you get into your feminine? Because I find that that's like the one thing that's really hard for me, because I go into masculine mode to protect whatever it is I'm shameful about. Mm-hmm. How do you open that up? Do you have any tips on that?
I can give you some direction, but it might be helpful if you tell me what shame you're experiencing, because otherwise I'm not going to be able to help you that much.
Okay, so for me, it's like sexual trauma.
Ah, there we go. Okay. Thank you for that. See, already you feel a lot more vulnerable by sharing the actual thing. Yeah? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And is this something that you've experienced your whole life or just more recently?
It's something that started at a young age, and the decisions that I made from that trauma perpetuated it. And so I got into relationships that validated the worthlessness that you feel when you go through that kind of stuff. And it blocked me. The things that happened afterwards blocked me off, and I just don't know how to get it to stop.
Yeah, and sometimes when there's something, you know, and I can hear that this is a really big thing for you, Kai, so I just really want to appreciate you for sharing this very vulnerable thing for you. So sometimes when we've got something really big like this and you keep hitting a wall trying to deal with this one, it's a bit because you're trying to go at it head on. Yeah, and the head-on approach sometimes just doesn't work when it's a really big charge. It's just going to push back, right? The pushback is just going to be too big. So I'm not sure if you've done any of the Pussy Power practices or if you have the Pussy Power practices.
Yes, I signed up for them.
Great. So the reason why I'm mentioning that is it's indirect. And the Pussy Power practices, yes, I'm giving you physical energetic exercises, but they're really embodiment exercises, and they're all about opening up your sexual and your feminine energy. They're designed to lubricate you physically and energetically, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And what I'd really encourage you to do in the light of your question today, your courageous question, and how I'm answering you, is you go into the Pussy Power practices knowing that you're gently wanting to be with the shame and be with these blocks that you're speaking about. And like I answered some of the earlier people today, you must let the emotions come out whilst you're doing the practices. Yeah?
Right.
Yeah, let yourself feel the grief around it, feel the anger around it, the frustration, whatever it is. Let them come through. If you need to stop for a minute and let the emotions come out, or you just let them flow whilst you're doing the practices. Make sense?
Yes, makes perfect sense. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a little bit less direct. We're not going to have to try to crack it open or... and I know that experience. I know that. I've had things in myself where it's like, fuck, can this just be done? I just want to be able to express myself freely, for God's sake. And yet then we kind of come at it in this harsh, judgmental way. Because what ends up happening is we're judging it now. You're judging the shame and the closing as bad rather than an authentic response you had at a time when that's all you knew how to do, right?
Right.
And so what maybe the Pussy Power Practices approach can afford you is a more gentle and compassionate approach to your body and your energy, and it can get in a more gentle way, just like the way how water will just get into the cracks in the rocks rather than bringing a sledgehammer to the rocks. Make sense?
Smooth it out. Makes perfect sense. Thank you so much.
Yeah, just let it in, and thank you for sharing that, and please again just share in the group too, whatever you're able to. I always notice that on these calls it's like, well, I really wish you were sharing in the group more, because I hate to think that you guys are suffering out there when I could be answering your questions post haste, you know, or as fast as possible, so you're not having to wait a whole month to share on the calls, etc. Okay, so please share what you feel like you are happy to share in the group, and I get it, it's Facebook and all that. Yeah. I get it. So anyway, even you can just say, yeah, that's working, thanks. Or I shared in the group call. Just you can be a bit elusive in the way you answer the question if you're worried about Facebook's policies. It is a secret group, so nobody can share your texts, if that makes sense. Whatever you feel comfortable. But please don't feel like you're out there on your own trying to deal with this.
Thank you.
Okay. Good. Thank you, Kai. Thank you so much. Beautiful. All right. And Mel. Is this Mel in Australia?
Yes. Hello. How are you?
Hi. How are you doing?
Good, good. I apologize. I was a bit late to the call. I think I got the time wrong, but I'm here anyway. So I apologize if this question's been asked already. I was wondering if you have any kind of take on the whole spiritual meaning behind all of this COVID stuff going on.
There's a lot of crap out there going on about that. So just be careful. There's a lot of people sharing a lot of bullshit. The reason why COVID-19 is happening as per SARS, MERS, Ebola, etc., is our world has opened up. These viruses have been there forever. They were previously secluded in counties and regions because we didn't travel like we do as human beings. And basically, these viruses have airplanes on which to travel and spread themselves around the world.
Right.
It's pretty simple on that level, okay?
Yeah.
So let's not turn it into this is God's wrath against, greed and humanity. It's just not what's happening, okay?
Mm-hmm.
However, what is being afforded due to the situation of the spread of COVID-19 is an incredible opportunity for us to recognize ourselves as part of humanity. And not Americans or Australians or Chinese or Russians, this or gay or straight or whatever. This virus is indiscriminate of our country of origin, our country we live in, our sex, our sexual orientation, our culture, our religion.
Sure.
And there's some beautiful things we've seen, like how the Italians responded and started singing, and they were singing to thank the health workers. There are people doing things in the US where at 8 o'clock at night they're doing things, putting banners out their windows, or one of my clients is projecting things on a sheet outside her house. And there's this, it's creating incredible connectivity. And it's so odd, isn't it? Because we're being socially distanced and yet more physically distanced. And yet we're recognizing ourselves much more broadly. And really spiritually, this is an incredible time to turn inside as spiritual forces of light are really wanting to help people, to get into people, to reach them. And if you can be sensitive to that this is an incredible time to meditate, to consolidate these the things that help you to create a positive, loving relationship to yourself, your family, if you're living with people, your family, friends. So there's a lot of positive things that can come from this time.
Mm-hmm.
And, the only other thing I'd say from vision is our social, economic, political structures at the moment, it's a bit like they've all become unplugged from where they've been plugged. And that's creating kind of sometimes a sense of a lot of chaos, or we get for some clients that really get hit by some of the waves around the COVID thing, like the emotional waves, people are experiencing a lot of fear. And so that's actually huge. Like the outcome of this is going to be that we're not going to go back to normal life. There's no way we're going back to normal existence after this. It is creating the opportunity for spiritual forces to actually get in and potentially bring incredible change. The way we work, the way we communicate. I've seen so fast things like, you'd think like, oh gosh, how would my dance culture ever be able to pivot this time? And then suddenly Five Rhythms and Open Floor Dancing are doing sessions on Zoom,
Amazing. Yep.
And so people are finding ways to connect. And we've often seen technology as this thing that separates us. And yet, well, what if we used it to connect?
Yeah.
Right? That's amazing, right? So there's a beautiful, beautiful breath from the divine happening, and you can catch that. And I put a little video out on Sunday because I realized I'd been kind of silent because I just didn't want to put out another COVID-19 stupid nothing empty something. But just to realize what I'm noticing is this is an incredible time for small gestures, like small acts of kindness. This is not a time for big sweeping gestures.
Mm-hmm.
This is, if you have to go out, put a frickin' mask on. That's becoming, especially in America, is about to become the next thing because they're realizing it does actually help in stopping and spreading. Don't fight over toilet paper. I was saying just one the other day, times like this test our mettle, you know, that expression?
Yeah.
As an Australian, you know that. Americans, I don't know if you use that expression, but it means are you going to turn up in the best of yourself or the worst of yourself in a time like this? And so war does that with people. And we're not at war, but we are fighting something together, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it does test our mettle. And so you get to choose who you are there and how you behave.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a spiritual thing in and of itself. And just the fact that people are stuck in their homes and are much more internal. I don't know what it's like in your city where you are, Mel, but in the San Francisco Bay Area, which is one of the biggest cities in America, there's usually this very specific buzz as soon as Monday morning starts, it goes through Friday. There's a very particular space of consciousness. That's pretty much not there.
Yeah.
Because people are working from home. It's a very big tech area, so people just moved home to work. And yet there is the bigger waves around the world, around the virus, and especially in America, we've got a lot of big political stuff happening. And everybody has that. There's a lot of politics. And that's also testing the mettle of our leaders. That's
for
sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's all I can say. So there's a practical level of it. This is just being spread because of our massive amount of movement that we do and how it can move very, very fast. And then there's, because of the situation, understanding what's happening.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great, thank you.
Yeah, is there anything else in that line?
Yeah, I do have one other question, and then after that I'm going to listen and mute myself. So what's the best way to mute? Because the baby's crying and I don't want you all to
hear
that.
Oh, I'll mute you. That's okay.
Okay, fantastic. just around meditation. So I've been meditating for a long time, but I've been, you know, doing the microcosmic orbit, and I don't know if there's any answer to this, but when I usually inhale, I always think down so that the breath goes downwards. And then when I try and think up, I keep doing this shallow breath because I'm thinking up, with up the back of the body.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone else tend to have that experience, or is there any way of getting around it? And I guess just backing onto that, do you recommend doing like 10 or 15 minutes of microcosmic orbit, or would you do a little bit of that and some other meditation afterwards?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is about the microcosmic orbit is it's more of an energetic practice. It's an energetic style of meditation.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
So when you're doing things that are moving your energy around you, which is what that is designed to do, you can do as much of that as it feels good to you. And when you're learning to move your energy consciously around your body, as in we breathe up the back of the body and down the front, you can be doing that in a formal sitting, closed eyes meditation stillness, or you, because it's more of an energetic practice, you could also be doing it whilst just sitting in front of the computer, right? So once you get it, then you're kind of flowing with the motion of the practice. I personally have other meditations that I do, but I keep them separate. So one thing that we always say about meditation practices is it's fine to do other practices but keep them very separate from each other.
Mm.
And that respects the tradition from which the practice comes, and then you're not mixing practices. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
So what I wasn't quite clear on is you breathe in and up. I understand why that's shallow, because you've got the same lungs, and then out and down.
Well, I guess because usually when I take a breath in, the breath obviously goes in your nose and down to the bottom of your lungs. So in order to encourage myself to breathe deeply, I think down. But then when I keep thinking up, I keep just doing this tiny little breath up into the top of my lungs. And I'm not sure, like, do I visualize two opposing energies? I'm all confused with how to make that work.
Yeah, it's true. Of course, you actually breathe physically in. And that takes the air down into the lungs, and then when you breathe out, you're pushing the lungs up and out of the lungs. Okay, so this is not a physical air issue. Mm-hmm. In fact, once you learn how to do the microcosmic orbit, no, you don't need to. It doesn't matter where the breath is. You can actually just be circulating the energy. You see?
Okay. Yep.
So I use it as a way to sort of help you. You follow this flow of the breath. We've spoken a lot about flow today. It's more that, and I would encourage you to not let yourself get hung up on that piece and to realize that what you're actually learning how to do is to trace this fluid etheric motions around your energy. And in fact, why don't you just try it for a few times, just ignoring the breath cycle piece?
Yeah.
I think sometimes I teach it where you can breathe in and out going up the back, and you can breathe in and out coming down the front of the body. So it doesn't really matter.
Okay.
Yeah? What I want you to learn how to do is to move your energy so it doesn't stagnate. And that takes time. Okay, that takes time, and you can't imagine it. You're not trying to creatively visualize something. You're actually moving the energy around. Yeah?
Yeah. Great.
Yeah, okay. Good.
Thank you.
Awesome. My pleasure, love.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, lovies. Good. Well, we might finish up here today. I don't see any other questions. And I think there's a lot. Sometimes taken in enough. There's quite a lot that's been passed here today. So what I'm going to encourage everybody to do, I'm just going to finish. And thank you for your presence and your attention and your questions today. It is always a delight for me to be able to serve you like this. I am thinking all the time about how I can be serving my community, and I'm thinking of some things that are going to come up that maybe for the broader community, but even you gals that are doing the more deeper stuff can also be part of. Some things coming up in the next coming weeks. But if you have ideas or things you want, you can always pop them on the Powerfully Feminine Sisterhood page and say, hey, you know, I'd really love to do this, or have you thought of doing that, or can you make a video on this? Like anytime. I always take it in consideration with whatever else I'm planning to do. Okay? So much love to you. I'm going to unmute. You're unmuted. I can all say goodbye, sending much love.
Bye, everybody. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye. Goodbye. Bye. Thank you.
Bye, lovelies. Talk to you again soon.